Father, we just want to take this time this morning to say how much we do love you, how grateful we are for your son, Jesus, and how much we love him. And God, I pray that those are not just words that we say. I pray that they're actually actions that we display. I pray, God, that our love for you would be very evident to the world around us, that we would love on each other, for your word declares that our love for each other tells the world that we belong to you and that we are your disciples. And so, Lord, help us to live out loud. Help us to be bold in our faith. Help us to be bold in our walks with the Lord. And I pray for everyone who's watching right now. I pray for everyone that's going to be listening to this message, God. I pray that their hearts are ready to receive. I pray that in their attitude and heart of worship that they've opened up themselves to be spoken to by your word. So, Holy Spirit, have your way. We thank you that you're in this place. For your word reminds us consistently and constantly that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are here in our midst. So we don't have to ask you to be here. We invite you to be here and to have your way with us. So speak into our hearts. Speak this truth so that it'll become a part of us, Lord. And not just in head knowledge, not just in understanding what this says, but truly to live out these things that we see in the text. So God, bless this time as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, we see something that the Apostle Paul does that we typically do even still today. And my message is entitled, Be a Godly Influence. Be a Godly Influence. Again, last week we were talking about being a positive influence. And this week as I was studying, it just made sense to transition it from a positive influence to a godly influence, to truly be seeking after the things of the Lord. And as we read this text, we're going to see the heart of the Apostle Paul, as I said a minute ago, and his desire to train up believers, to train up really leaders. And, as I look back on my 28 years of walking with the Lord, I'm reminded of the many conferences that I've participated in over the years. Conferences, gatherings where we come together around the Word of God and be encouraged in our walk. Probably one of my fondest memories is marriage conferences, going with my wife to conferences that would encourage us to be better husbands and better wives, to be those that are asking God to guide and direct our relationships. We live in a world that just relationships are disposable. Marriages are disposable. Families, in some sense, is disposable. And we need to be those believers that embrace the truths and the relationships that we have with each other and stick to them. They're not always easy. Marriage isn't always easy, but God is always there. I've been to men's conferences that encourage me to be a godly man and to embrace the principles of the Lord and to be influenced by him and guided by him and directed by him as a man of God. And so these are all very fond memories. When I think about men's conferences, I also am reminded of an organization called Promise Keepers. And I'll never forget the first Promise Keepers event that I ever went to. We were in a stadium, and it was an indoor stadium. And I believe it was in I think it was in St. Petersburg, Florida, and 65,000 men packed this arena. And it was an experience that I've never had since, when 65,000 men singing to the Lord, praising the Lord, those deep voices, there was some kind of power in that atmosphere when you felt the worship towards God of the hearts of these men. And these are the things that are important to us as believers, to have these times to get away and to be trained up and equipped. There's women's conferences and youth conferences and missions conferences. All of these are a desire to come together to equip us to serve the Lord in whatever phase of life that we're in, in whatever position that we find ourselves in. And so I'm thankful for the many conferences that I've been to, but more than any other conference, for me, was when I began to serve in ministry. And it was a pastors or leaders conference, pastors and leaders conferences coming together to equip the leaders in the church. It's it's a dedicated time. And what I love about Calvary Chapel pastors' conferences is they're teaching the Word of God. They're teaching a section of God. And it's about people coming together, men and women, pastors, leaders that are serving in the church to hear from the heart of God, to hear from His Word, and to refocus and redirect our efforts to serve God, to fulfill His will for our lives and for the ministry. And so not only in the ministry, but in our everyday. You know, we serve the Lord in the church, but as believers, we should be serving the Lord outside the church too. We should be serving the church, or serving the Lord wherever we are. Whether we're going on a hike, whether we're walking through our neighborhood, whether we're going on a bike ride with our kids or friends, it's like a constant reminder to make a godly influence on someone. That's what we all need these days, is someone to encourage us to keep the faith, someone to encourage us that all hope is not lost, that there's always hope in Christ, there's always hope in God. And so we need to be seeking after Him and to be an influence. So these conferences, and I've said it before, we can't be addicted to conferences, but conferences should lead us to a place where we go, Lord, I want more of You. Lord, I want to serve You. Lord, I want to represent You better. Many times I've had the privilege as a pastor now going to these conferences and inviting some of the leadership in our church to go to these conferences and to watch God speak to their hearts, to watch God move in their hearts. You know, it was a missions conference back in, I think, 2015, she'll correct me if I'm wrong, that Suzelle was knocked on her heart, the Lord knocked on her heart, said, would you come back to Haiti and serve your community? So God speaks at these conferences. And that's what we're going to see here in Acts chapter 20. We're going to see the Apostle Paul gather together some leaders in the church to minister to them, to equip them, to remind them what ministry is going to be like. And like I said, I've got 4 points that I want to get out of the rest of this text. Again, we're only going to get to 2 of them, but I think they're very important for us in the life that we're living, the days that we're living in today, that truly we would be a godly influence to others and allow others to be a godly influence on us. I think it's so important in the days that we're living. We need the wisdom of God. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit when we're having conversations with people that maybe have a different perspective of things. You know, as we're entering to this, this next election, we need the heart of God. We need the wisdom of God to do what's right. And we need to ask God to move in the hearts of the people that are leading our country. Let us be the church that prays for God's presence in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our states, in our country, in the world. I believe Jesus is coming back, and is His church ready to receive His return? Boy, I pray we are. I'm ready. I'm looking up and saying, Lord, at any moment You could come back. But until You do, I'm going to encourage as many people as I can. So look with me, Acts chapter 20, verse 17, as the Apostle Paul has our very first pastor's conference. Verse 17 says this, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the very first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Now I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. What an amazing area of text we have before us. And quite honestly, we may only get to this first point this morning, because I believe it's so important as we look at this text to understand, again, the heart of the Apostle Paul as he's on his third missionary journey, traveling around Asia, traveling around the different places around the Galilee area, just seeking and going and visiting the churches that he has established in these different places. And what he does is, as he's visiting these churches and as he's teaching them, God's moving in him. And we see here in the first verses, verses 17 and 18, how he calls for the elders of the church from Ephesus. He calls them to himself. Again, it's the first pastor's conference. And what's amazing to me is that these men are willing to come to be around the Apostle Paul, to glean from his wisdom. The Apostle Paul was certainly highly esteemed in these days, well respected in the church, maybe not for the Jews, but in the church, to have the Apostle Paul and to have time, one-on-one time with the Apostle Paul must have been an amazing experience. But as we look at being a godly influence, the first thing I see here is that a godly influence is one that's humble. Paul lived a life of humility. We see it in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials. Humility, in my opinion, is one of the greatest things that any believer can hold. We know that the Lord Jesus was a humble man. He came humbly, and we'll see that in a moment. But for us, we need to realize that bringing humility into the church, bringing humility into our community, we live in a world where it's so selfish and so self-centered. And we as believers are trying to battle between our needs and our wants and the things in this world. And we have to come into this world with a humble heart, a humble heart. And Paul humbly comes and asks these elders to come to this conference, come to this meeting. And they come. They come willingly. And when it comes to our walk with the Lord, listen to this quote. It's one of my favorite quotes. See if I can get it up. I guess not. I'm going to read it to you. One of the greatest abilities in the kingdom of God is availability. Again, I'm going to say it again. One of the greatest abilities, there it is, in the kingdom of God is availability. To be available to the Lord. To be available to the Lord Jesus. To be available in these times. See, Paul called these leaders from Ephesus. Listen, they had responsibilities. They had families. They had things that they needed to get done, but their commitment to God, their commitment to the ministry, their commitment to the Lord caused them to prioritize this time with the Apostle Paul. It is so important as believers to make ourselves available to God. And listen, I'm not saying make yourself available to the church. I'm not saying make yourself available to necessarily ministry. I'm saying make yourself available to the Lord. That's what Paul says. Serving the Lord with all humility. We must serve God. We must serve Christ with a humble heart. Because the reality is, we know that when we serve the Lord, it's by his grace and by his ability and by his strength and his guidance and his provision that we're able to serve, that we're able to love on others. Why do we do the things we do as believers? Hopefully we're motivated because the Lord is showing us those things, because God is directing them. See, these elders came to be with the Apostle Paul, to sit at his feet, to spend time around someone that was going to pour into them and help equip them for the ministry. Again, they were leaders in their churches. And Paul wanted to equip the leaders so that they could equip the church. And maybe someone listening right now, maybe you haven't ever served the Lord, technically. And I'm not saying serving the Lord doesn't always necessarily mean, you know, handing out bulletins at church or going on a missions trip. I mean, those are certainly things of serving the Lord. But maybe there's a special call on your life. Maybe there's a place that God wants you to be, a niche that he wants you to meet. Are you open to that? Are you available to the Lord? Are you available for God to use you? See, when God gives you the opportunity, do you take it? See, what do you prioritize God in your life? Is God a priority? Listen, we all have responsibilities. We all have things that we need to accomplish and to do on a daily basis. And when we get wore out and wore down, I wonder if that's not because we haven't put God as our priority. We haven't made ourselves available to the things of God, and we're really burning ourselves out. You know, we talk about, in the church, you talk about being burned out. And I've said it ever since I ever became a Christian and understood the idea of service. We get burned out because we're doing things for the Lord that he never asked us to do. We get burned out when we're trying to impress someone, when we're trying to impress a pastor, we're trying to impress another person, or trying to impress, we get burned out. But if you're doing the very things that God asks you to do, if you're living humbly in such a way that you're letting God use you, then I believe you'll serve in that capacity with all your heart, that you won't get burned out. I believe if you're doing exactly what God calls you to do, you will not get burnout. I think burnout is something that man has created because we do things in the flesh rather than doing those things in the spirit. So it's that time in our hearts where we got to take inventory. Am I doing? Am I serving? Am I in that place that God wants me to be? That God's called me to be? See, when you're seated in the palm of the Lord, when you're seated in the center of his, he's going to guide you. As he's holding you in his hands, he'll provide for you. What he calls you to, he will equip you for. Listen to that. What he calls you to, he will equip you for. So if you're getting frustrated in your life, if you're getting frustrated in the things that you're quote-unquote doing for God, it's that time to take that evaluation and say, did God really call me to this? Has the Lord really called me to this area in my life? Because burnout is not God's will. You know, the Lord Jesus came to this earth. And listen, the Apostle Paul, it says in verse 19 that he served the Lord humbly with many tears and trials. So just because you're serving the Lord doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult. Just because you're serving the Lord doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Serving the Lord can be difficult. And so the Apostle Paul is telling the elders of these churches, listen, serve humbly, but make sure you understand trials are going to come. Tears, heartbreak, difficulty. Listen, Jesus himself said, in this world you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So don't you see that serving the Lord isn't always easy? Serving the Lord is a constant dependence upon God. That's why we must do it humbly, because we're relying upon God to fill us with the strength, to fill us with the wisdom, to fill us with the endurance to stay faithful to him. That's a godly influence. You're influencing other people to live godly. You're influencing other people to serve the Lord correctly and under the context of his will. It's so important. Paul's life was an example, and that's what he starts out here as he begins this first pastor's conference recorded in the New Testament. He's like, you know what kind of life I live. You know what kind of man I am. You understand that from the first day, it says in verse 18, that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. Paul lived out loud. Paul was not ashamed to let his life be open to other people. So they knew his character. And Paul had the ability to say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, because he lived for the Lord and he wanted all to see. He was a living example, and he's a living example to these elders in Ephesus. He's a living example to us. Who are the living examples in your life? Who are the men and the women that are serving God, that are doing their life, and they seem to be doing it well? Are they relying on the Lord? Are they surrendered to God? Is that something you desire for your life? That you want to live your life in such a way that it's underneath the protection and the direction of the Lord? Do it humbly. Do it humbly. Listen, there's three things about serving with humility. Number one is serving with humility is regarding others as better than yourself. Regarding others as better yourself. That's humble. Listen, look at this verse, Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's humility, my friends. That's living in humility. When we put others first, when we don't look at self, when we're not being self-centered in everything that we're doing. Listen, God wants you to enjoy your life. God wants you to pursue things. God wants you to have good things in your life. But put others first is a heart of humility. Putting others first, being mindful. And those who do this well do it so naturally. It's not forced. They're not forced to put others first. They're not forced to help others. They're not forced to serve in any way. When you have a humble heart and when you have a servant's heart, you're going to put others first. Again, the Apostle Paul put everyone first before himself. So serving with a humble heart means putting others before yourself. And when you do this, when you truly can embrace this truth of putting others first, it brings so much joy to your heart. I love helping other people in ways I can, with my gifts and talents, to be able to assist them in some way. When I hear of someone struggling, you know, maybe with a computer or struggling with something in their home, it's like immediately I want to say, how can I help? How can I assist? I want to put them first. I want to help them. And there's such gratitude and such joy that comes into my heart when I'm able to serve. And I know people who serve the Lord faithfully and with the right heart, and they do it joyfully. And it even says that, you know, Paul served joyfully. He wants to serve the Lord with joy. So number one, humility is putting others first. Number two, serving with humility is not finding fault with others. Oh, this is tough. We can be so critical. We can be so critical of other people, and humility doesn't look for other people's problems, but it looks for their strengths. It looks for excellence in what they're doing. That's humility. Criticism in a critical eye is self-centered, because when we look at others' faults, it makes us feel better. When I look at someone else's faults, it makes me feel like, well, I don't have that problem. And so that's pride. That's not humility. But humility looks at someone's life and says, I know you've got some issues, but there's also some value in your life. And so not finding fault with others, but finding excellence in them and to encourage them in that. That's living humility, living with humility. Number three, serving with humility is realizing it's God's grace alone that allows us to do anything. It's by the grace of God that we are able to do the things that we do. Humility should be something that is in the heart of every believer. I don't think there's no room for pride in the church. There's no room for pride in the heart of a Christian. What pride can we have? What good do we have? The Bible tells us that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. It tells us we can do nothing apart from God, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So it's Christ who strengthens us. It's Christ who's working in you and through you. You know, and it's in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to turn there real quick if I can get there. Philippians chapter 2 in verse 8 says this. speaking about Jesus, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, so Jesus came as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Humility is coming to a place where you humble yourself literally to the point of death. And note it goes on, it says, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is not just dying. This is dying on a cross, dying in the most horrible way known in those days. Horrific way to die. So not only did Jesus die, not only did he humble himself coming to this world and he died, but he died on a cross. The cross was a cross of shame, and Jesus turned it into a cross of glory. When we look to the cross, we see the strength of God. We see the power of God in our lives. Seek humility. Humility is something that you have to seek after and ask for. To have God constantly, you know, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He says, for those that exalt themselves, he will humble. And those that humble themselves, he will exalt. So seek after humility in your life. The Apostle Paul was willing to minister to these other leaders of the church and not be ashamed to say, I'm a humble person. Wouldn't you agree there needs to be more humility in the world? With everybody in the world having their own truth, with everybody in their world seeking after their own way of doing life, humility says, it's not about me living my life. It's about Christ living through me. It's about God living through my life. A humble heart. Humble heart. That was the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 20. It says, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 21, testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What's interesting to me, verse 21, it says that he was going publicly and teaching from house to house. But it also tells us in verse 21 that he was teaching the Jews and the Greeks. The Jews who were plotting to kill him, the Jews that hated Paul, yet he still had a heart for them. See, when we're talking about making a godly influence, sometimes we have to serve those we don't like. Sometimes we have to serve those that don't like us. And that's not an easy thing. But with true humility, with true place of humility, we can come to a place where we can serve those and let them know the love of God, the grace of God through our life to those we don't like. Paul's heart was so in tune that he was going to preach the gospel. He was going to teach the truth about Jesus, no matter who it was. Never let the message of God, the message of Christ, be hindered in your life to be shared to someone you don't like. You don't know how God's going to use you. You don't know how God might use you to get to that person, to reach that person. You continue to be faithful. You continue to do what God calls you to do. To be a faithful employee. To be a faithful husband or wife. To be a faithful parent. To be a faithful child. You just continue to be faithful and watch God open up a door of opportunity to be able to reach that person that maybe rubs you wrong. You just don't know. The Apostle Paul, he was not afraid to give up his life. In fact, if you look in chapter 21, verse 13, Paul says to them, it says, and Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am writing not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. As I read that verse this morning, I was just so moved by it. Paul's like, don't cry for me. Don't be sad for me. I'm going in the direction that God is calling me to go. And the Holy Spirit has already told me that wherever I go, change and difficulties are going to happen. So he was prepared. God prepared the Apostle Paul to live the life that he was living. And he'd lived it unashamedly. Can you imagine If the Holy Spirit said to you, listen, wherever you go, you're gonna experience difficulty. That's not very encouraging, is it? That's not very motivating to help you keep going and serving the Lord. But that's the reality. The reality is there are always going to be hardships. There's always going to be difficulties in this life. We're going to lose our loved ones. Bad things are going to happen to us and to those that we care about. But God has a way of balancing those scales. God has a way of correcting those things. On this side of heaven, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of suffering. But the Bible tells us that when we get to heaven, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Paul, the Apostle Paul says, I don't even compare the glory that is yet to come with the sufferings that I've gone through. I don't even compare them. Paul was able to not even see his sufferings and see his difficulties. They were nothing to him because his focus was on heaven. His focus was on being in the presence of the Lord and serving Jesus. Verse 21, testifying to the Jews and to the Greeks. Notice what the message was. Repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. Two very important elements in the heart of every believer. Repentance, turning from sin. That's repentance. Paul's message was a message of repentance from sin and towards God. Turn to God. If there are areas of your life you're struggling with, you got to turn from those things. What sin is holding you captive? What vice has got you in a place where you don't know what to do? It's repentance. It's surrender. You know, a repentance is it's a turning from that thing and turning towards God. Faith. Towards Jesus Christ. That's our walk. We turn from sin and we walk towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Be drawn towards his presence. God, give us your mind. Give us your thoughts. Give us your heart. Help us to see what you want us to see. Help us to see with your eyes, Lord. Reveal to us in the spiritual realm the things and the needs that you want to meet and then use us, Lord. Paul's message didn't change. The gospel didn't change. His audience may have changed, but his message never changed. Romans 2:4 says this, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? I love this verse. Repentance, again, is turning from sin. And this verse reminds us that you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. How good has God been to you? How good has God been in your life? You may just focus on the negative. You just may focus on the difficulties that you're having. And we certainly have a lot of difficulties in the days that we're living in, the times that we're living in. You know, maybe you're not able to go back to work, or maybe you're not able to work as much. Or maybe you're quarantined at home. And we just don't understand. But the goodness of God causes us to rely on him. That God is good. No matter what we're going through. No matter what season that we're in. God is good. And if we're going to be a godly influence, we're going to let other people know how good our God is. How good our God is. God uses you, and God uses me. And when I reach out to someone and just connect with them throughout the week, maybe it's through a text. How are you today? Or, hey, this is what the Lord showed me today. And when they respond back, God is good. Don't we love that? God is good. And when I say God is good, there's always someone around that says, all the time. God is good all the time. God isn't good just sometimes. God's goodness is for all times. Let other people know how good God has been to you. Don't focus in on the negative. Don't focus on the bad things that are going on in your life. Focus in on the good things. Focus in on the goodness of God and the blessings that are coming. And that's what I believe I'm hearing more and more as people are spending, you know, as this pandemic continues to stretch out, I'm hearing more and more how thankful they are for time with family. How thankful they are that they've got more time to do some of the things they weren't able to do because they were so busy before. And we see a change happening. We see a refocus. I think God is using this pandemic as an opportunity to refocus our attention upon the things that truly do matter. I think before all this, we were running on this treadmill. We were just running and running and running, no time to stop. And this has caused us to slow down a little bit, to reevaluate. We were just talking this morning how the way things are happening and the way we're doing life now, I think it'll carry over once all this pandemic changes anyway, because we're seeing fruit from these different opportunities, you know, from Zoom meetings and from connecting with people that we wouldn't be able to connect to normally, or it's a lot more convenient, right, to get on a Zoom meeting and to have a meeting quickly and get back to what you were doing instead of traveling and meeting people face to face. So for this season, embrace these things. Embrace these opportunities. Our Wednesday night Bible study is a great example. You know, until this pandemic happened, we wouldn't have been reaching people on a Wednesday night Bible study, maybe in California or in Haiti with Suzelle or Texas, friends of ours in Texas, Tim and Lisa. What a blessing that is. We would have never had that opportunity, perhaps, if this didn't happen. So God is revealing things and showing us things during this time. Look at verse 22. It says, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. God was preparing Paul for his journey to Jerusalem. Paul knew the end of his life was coming. Paul knew that he wasn't going to be able to see them face to face any longer. And that certainly saddened the elders of Ephesus and the churches there. But the reality was Paul was focused on doing what God called him to do. So he didn't even care, right? In verse 24, but none of these things moved me. None of these things moved me. Why? Because Paul was singularly focused. He was focused only on what God wanted him to do. And maybe everybody around him saying, Paul, you don't want to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. He's like, that's fine. I have no problem with that. The reality is, guys, for you and I, that our lives have been surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives have been given over to him. It is really hard to commit your life to Christ and to surrender your life to Christ and then continue to live your own life. The Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me. What moves you away from the things of God? What draws you away from the things of the Lord? Ask God to help you to minimize those distractions. To minimize it, because Paul, again, was singularly focused for the Lord, and he wanted these elders to live the same way. What an amazing way to start out this pastor's conference is to put in perspective that the Holy Spirit is the one who calls the shots. The Holy Spirit is the one who directs. And I started out talking about pastors' conferences. And as I've been going through, I've been thinking about the conferences that I've gone to over the years. I wish I knew how many there were. At least 10. And probably a majority of those had the Pastor Chuck Smith would share at them, share his heart. And his heart was always so consistent. And that's one thing I will never forget. And he would teach us to rely and depend upon the Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't be moved in our lives by the things of the world, that we wouldn't be moved by the things of riches or glory, but that we would only worry about what the Holy Spirit was showing us and teaching us. And that, my friends, is the key to living a life that is an influence to other people, to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. I can tell you what to do, but that might not be right. When the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, you know it's right. So be open to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. Humble yourself before God. Listen to his voice. Prioritize him. Make yourself available to be used by God. And that just means live your life, but be open to the opportunities that God gives to you and be ready for them. I'll share this one last story. Many years ago in ministry, there was a gentleman who said he felt called into the mission field. Knew one day he would be in the mission field. But he had his own business. He had a wife. He had kids. He had responsibilities. He had family. And I'll never forget what he said. One day, when God calls me into the mission, I hope I'm ready. And I looked at him and I said, listen, do me a favor. If you're called to it, be ready now. You never want to hear God say, I want you to go, and then your reply be, but I've got some things I need to fix first, or some things I need to finish first. No, you want to be available. Because again, the greatest ability in the kingdom of God is availability. So get your life in a way where you can be available to God. Doesn't mean you can't still meet all your responsibilities, but it can mean it's just an attitude of the heart saying, Lord, when you call me, I want to move forward. I want to move forward. We need more men and women in this world that are willing to submit to the direction and guidance of God rather than the direction and guidance of this world. Let's all be a godly influence to the people around us. Let's all be like the Apostle Paul and singularly focus that no matter what happens, as long as my life's in your hands, God, I'm good. Let's practice this week looking out for the needs of others. Let's humble ourselves in such a way that, Lord, I want to meet someone else's need. And when you do that, you'll be enriched. Your life will be blessed. So I encourage you, be a godly influence this week and watch God use you. Watch God work through you and watch God bless you. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for your word, God, and just how powerful it is to think that we could be like the Apostle Paul and say, none of these things move me. That we would truly embrace this truth, God. That this world needs godly influencers. That we need people in our lives that are influencing each of us to walk with the Lord, to draw close to the Lord, to rely on the Lord. So God, I ask that you would help us. That you would, in fact, humble us, God. Put us in that place of humility. Put us in that place where we put others' needs first and above ours. That we would realize that it's by your grace and your grace alone that we're able to do anything that we do for you. And may people not look to us, but may they look to you. When they see our lives, may they see the life of Christ that's living through us. God, we love you so very much. We are so thankful that our hearts and minds have been opened to you. And I pray for anyone who's listening right now. I pray for anyone's heart who's heavy and burdened right now. God, I pray that you would encourage them and lift them up. I would pray that you would reveal to them that you have paid the price for them to live a victorious life. And I pray for anyone who's listening to my voice right now who doesn't have a relationship with you yet, who hasn't surrendered their lives to you, God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they would surrender and they would humble themselves before you, God. And accept the Lord Jesus into their life as their personal Lord and Savior. And then believe by faith that if they cry out to you, if they ask for you to come into their lives, that they will believe that you will give them the Holy Spirit and that they will be saved and that from this day forward, they will begin to walk with you. So bless each and every one listening right now, God. Bless our lives that we would be a blessing to others and ultimately a blessing to you. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.